being out, having an outward focus. We introduced the concept of up, in, and out as three dimensions of Jesus' relationships as he encountered life in the community. We introduced that back in February, but there's been so many new people coming with us, we want to encourage all of us to have this language of up, in, and out, three dimensions of relationships that Jesus had, and we need to adopt the same things in our own lives. You can see this unfold multiple times throughout the Gospels of Jesus' life. In particular, I want to highlight one for you, Matthew chapter 14. Just in that chapter and just prior to, we see Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, who had gained quite a following amongst the people of his area and of his day. Herod got very jealous of that, the king, and he actually had John the Baptist beheaded, all right? So he executed him, he killed him, and overcome with grief or wanting to have some time away, Jesus took the disciples and they retreated away to a mountainside where they could presumably have time with the Father up. They were having time upward with the Father, inward together with his disciples before being engaging with the community outwardly. So that's the pattern that we see. But here's what happens in that specific moment. Jesus retires or retreats off to the mountainside with his disciples, and the crowds actually follow him there. So instead of actually having time of retreat upwardly and inwardly with the disciples, that he has that pattern over and over, now he's engaged outwardly with the community and ended up that day having over 5,000 people, and he feeds them all, right? You might remember that story, the feeding of the 5,000, a very out kind of a connection that he had with his community. And today, that's what we're talking about, out, being out in the community, being outward with other folks, not just sequestering ourselves inward as a church. That's important to have those relationships upward with God and that sort of thing. We'll talk more about it again later, but out. And so we have an opportunity before us today. Darcy, I'll let you introduce your husband, but I've engaged with Darcy here, this microphone here, if you don't mind. And I'll let you tell your story on your own, but I commend this opportunity to you today because today we're going to present two opportunities for being out and one strategy for being out. So here's your opportunity number one, Darcy, if you would, please.
Hello, good morning, Engaged family. My name's Darcy McCampbell. This is my husband, Jay McCampbell. I happen to be the mouth between us, so he's going to go back there and work on the PowerPoint thing. And if it's okay, I'd like to share. Can I set this here, Carrie? All right. Yep, I'm good. I wrote it down so I don't get sidetracked. I can just go rabbit trailing, so I want to make sure I stick to script. First, I would like to thank Carrie Miller, my dear friend. She put us in contact with Pastor Dave. And it's funny because we know his mom. So it just worked out amazingly. I just want to say, you know, we appreciate, you know, Pastor Dave believing in our mission and the vision that God has given us. And that's why we're here. We want to go ahead and share that, getting involved and getting out. If it's okay, I'd like to give some backstory about my husband and I and our family to help you understand the next assignment that the Lord has given us. Is that okay? All right. Our kingdom assignment began 20 years ago. We went through many years of not being able to have biological children. Due to a horrific experience, it definitely wasn't an accident. I was gang raped at 11 and a half years old, so that's not an accident. Horrific experience I endured at 11 and a half years old. It did extreme damage to my physical body, and I was unable to carry a child to term. After IVF failure, many miscarriages, and a ton of heartache, we decided to become foster parents. We fostered 79 children through Franklin County Children's Services in the Ohio Youth Advocate Program in Columbus, Ohio. During that time, We also were asked to be a part of a pilot program where we would live in a house that Franklin County and the OYAP organization owned, and we would foster severely traumatized youth. These children were somewhat different than the previous foster children that we had been taking care of. They were older and had much larger problems. Many had been physically abused, mentally abused, and sexually abused. They'd been trafficked. These youth were crying out for help, for sure. They needed someone to care, to keep them safe, and to provide a home for their daily needs. We did just that. We thrived on the challenge of praying with them, helping them to understand who they were and also whose they were. Don't get me wrong, this was not an easy task. Due to the circumstances each of them had individually and the lives that they had come from, they had currently come to be in this lifestyle of survival mode, kill or be killed, so to speak. They had learned to manipulate to get their daily needs met, everything from food to clothing, shelter, but also to get anything and everything they wanted. But we had Jesus. The Holy Spirit would almost let us know where the underlying pain and heartache stemmed from, the root. If I'm honest, it broke our hearts on an everyday basis, learning what these young people had witnessed and had been a part of, and sadly had become also themselves. After 2.5 years, we decided that we needed a break. This was a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week job. And it was hard, very hard, mentally, emotionally, and physically, even spiritually, if I'm honest. One young male managed to fracture a few of my ribs, and my husband was like, that's it. We even went out to dinner one time in those 2.5 years, one time. And it took 3 social workers from Franklin County Children's Services to come and watch the 7 children that we supervised. However, that 7 became 5 because we actually had to take 2 of them with us out to dinner, which was a whole nother story, day and time. Jay worked outside the home full time, so I was alone about 12 hours, 5 days a week, with them all by myself. And yes, it took 3 social workers for 2.5 hours. When we returned home that evening, they looked like they had been through a hurricane. It wasn't pretty. After a short time period, we went back to just fostering, and then we adopted. We now have 9 beautiful adopted children, all adults now. Thank you, Jesus. They range in age from twins that are 19 all the way to 36. We also have 11 grandchildren. Son-in-laws, daughter-in-laws. Our oldest son is a pastor now. And we also have 3 children that are serving in the United States military. We have an Army, a Marine, and a Sailor. Which brings me to approximately 24,000 children a year here in America turn 18 years old while in the foster system. It is also at this age that they are expected to know everything they need to be a successful part of society. They are given their entire worth and belongings in a black trash bag and sent into the real world. Many of these teens aren't even done with high school. Some, due to being in foster care, have never even held a job. They weren't allowed. None have transportation in place, and their state medical coverage is also canceled. Here are some of the national statistics for you that show what happens within 2 to 4 years once one of these children leaves foster care. 49% become homeless. 40% receive, or 40% of them were currently receiving public assistance. 40% are incarcerated. 52% were on drugs or addicted to alcohol. 46% never even finish high school. 51% are unemployed. And over 84% of these young people become parents themselves. Ohio is ranked the highest in children that are currently being trafficked while in care. Almost 65% of the children coming into or already in care have also been trafficked. Sadly, also in Ohio, foster youth were less likely to receive any type of transitional services prior to emancipating. Nationally, 23% of foster youth receive job training. The figure is only 6% in the state of Ohio. I hope these statistics have snatched your heart as they have for ours for many years. This is not okay. This is not okay. We as a country, a state, and a community must do better for these young people. We started Kingdom Pillar Strong Tower in January of 2018. We knew immediately we were in very much over our heads. We literally decided to take a year to pray and fast, seeking how God was going to bring this big dream, which began in 2003, to life. Though we had become a legal 501c3 charitable organization, we were in a position of learning. And currently we're still learning. He's teaching us every single day. Fast forward to this past March, we were given a 63-square-foot space. We cried a lot. God is moving so much bigger than we had asked. He is currently doing exceedingly and abundantly way more than we've prayed or asked. With this space, we will be able to house 20 to 25 young women aging out of the foster care system and that have been trafficked. We will be able to provide a home, teach them life skills such as cooking, cleaning, budgeting, money management, and help them finish their high school diploma, provide internal and external mentorship, and so much more to help them become successful young women in society. The space we have been given needs a lot of work, $650,000 worth of work to be exact. It is an old school building off of Toboso. It needs heating, cooling, plumbing. It needs to be ADA ready for our handicap accessible friends and electrical, just to mention a few of the needs. Our amazing board is standing right alongside us, praying and ready. We have already begun having our first fundraiser in July, and our second one is just in a few weeks. So this brings me to some very important pieces of information. Kingdom Pillars needs you, the body of Christ, to join us in making a difference, to foster hope in these young ladies' lives, to be part of a change. We would love to have you partner with us in prayer for these young ladies that will be coming, for us and our board and our advisory committee, and the fundraising efforts that are to come. Please consider being a part of this message, this mission. We need community to help, as we cannot do this alone. It does take a village. We need to get the word out to churches, to businesses, and to individuals. Thank you so much for your time and for allowing me to share. We will be at that back table back there after service. We do have some statistic information. We can answer questions. We have brochures and our next fundraising event, if you guys would be interested. This is 8 of our 9 babies. Our oldest son was in. Oh, gosh, you scared me. Sorry.
I'm very sneaky.
Our oldest son lives in Georgia, so he wasn't present for the picture. Thank you guys so much for letting us share. And thank you, Dave.
I've asked Jamie to come back up here. They have a facility at the Old Toboso School that also has the Well Church in it. That's their home church. They gave them the entire third floor to do this ministry where they can host 22 to 23, young ladies coming out of foster care. Over the phone you said young ladies coming out of recovery as well, perhaps.
That have been trafficked.
Foster care, yeah. So that's the ministry that they're trying to put together. And from us, they're seeking for us to be able to spread the word knowledgeably about what they're trying to do. Capture a vision. If we see a way that we can help that vision, whether with material goods or money, or know people who might have those things, and then above all else, pray.
Yes.
So let us commit to praying for them, and we'll do this now as we gather around and pray for you guys.
Aw, thank you.
God, we thank you for Jamie and for Darcy and the mission that you've put upon their hearts. This grand vision to be able to be in ministry to these women who have often been cast aside and find themselves on the margins of society and of life. We ask, Lord, that you bless them and give them courage and strength, and may they be bold as they go to churches and seek for help and seek for capturing a vision. We ask that you provide for them every step of the way, and may you open doors for them that they did not even think to knock on. God, bless them and keep them, and may you shine your face upon them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Thank you.
Every Sunday, I get to sit on this stool and preach the word, but I always feel inadequate after that. You know, man, praise God. Thank you. Music team, thank you for all of you for participating in worship and giving your heart to it and giving your voice and adding to our music together. So we're talking about being out. In college, I had a lot of friends, and I was in the music department, and I sang in this giant choir that we traveled all over the world and sang in different places, and we were tight. We were close. We had lots of friends, and we hung out every night. We would do something together and just enjoy life together, and it was very out. You know, I was just outgoing, and I was out there with people, but I went home like every weekend. I needed to go do laundry and get money, you know, things like that. Work on the farm. I had things I had to do. So I went home on the weekends, but occasionally there were times when I didn't go home, and all of my friends were not accustomed to me being on campus on the weekend. And therefore, when they would go out and have fun on Friday and Saturday, they would not include me in their plans. And I got so lonely, and I would get so bored, and really, I just felt dejected, honestly, and rejected. I felt so bad because my friends were out there having fun, and nobody cared about me, and they just always had more fun without me anyway, you know? You start telling these lies to yourself, like, oh, we talked about this earlier, didn't we, Alan? Like, all of a sudden, when something, a miscommunication happens, you start telling these lies to yourself about what's probably really going on behind the scenes. And no, it's just they didn't know I was around, and I didn't make myself present enough to make it known that I would like to be included on whatever they were doing. And then Sunday night would roll around, and everybody would come back all together, and happy, happy, joy, joy. We're all getting along. They had no idea just how much of a loser I felt to be. And I suffered mentally so much that whole weekend. Here's my giant confession for the day, all right? And it's really early to be confessing such things in public, and this is true. I felt that I needed to be out there with people, making them laugh, making them feel good, enjoying their, I don't know, their company, especially making them laugh. That's just what I wanted them to do. I needed that to get my self-worth. You know what I'm talking about? I needed them to adore me in order for me to feel good about myself. And that's like just ripping a giant Band-Aid off of, you know, my heart and life this morning, right in here in front of you. But look, that's so unhealthy. That is not, I don't recommend that for anybody. Don't be deflated just because you didn't get communicated to on a certain thing, and don't allow those lies to be prevalent in your head. But that's me. I'm kind of an out there kind of person. I'm fully out on a lot of different things, and I have to intentionally and consciously bring myself back to an inward focus and have deeper connections with smaller amounts of people so that I can be challenged and I can grow better. And I have to intentionally put myself in position where I can develop my upward relation with God, or at least allow Him to work it into me. I have to quiet myself sometimes. I have to bring myself away from the out so He can do the work on the up and the in. Does that make sense? It's hard for me to do. But I'm extroverted, so out comes easy for me and in comes with difficulty. But for those of you who are introverted, you're kind of maybe like getting a little uncomfortable in your seat. Like, I know this sermon's going to be on the out, talking about out things. Oh, crap. He's going to tell us we got to go be out there kind of people. And we already know He's out there. I get it. Out doesn't come easy for everybody. One thing I hear at funerals or people tell me when I do a funeral, there's either this kind of person, you'll know what I'm talking about. This person never met a stranger. You know that kind of person. You hear that at a funeral. They never met a stranger. Or there's this other kind of person. They'll not say this word, like, there's plenty of strangers for this person. But what they had was two or three friends that were just like family. You know, they were sisters, you know, and they had this deep inward connection. You have outward people, you have inward people. And honestly, we need to have both kinds of people. And really, we kind of need to be both kinds of people. We have to have outward connection, but we also need inward stability. For all of us, I want us to think about what it might look like if we could confidently be out there kind of people, intentionally engaging people with the love of Christ. Now, notice I didn't say out there kind of people, begging them to come to church. Right? No, that's not what I'm saying here. Or out there people, beating them on the head with the Bible. I don't want you to do that sort of thing. Rather, engage people with the simple love of Christ. You don't even have to tell them about Jesus yet. Just engage them with love. So we're going to take a peek at two snippets of Scripture. They're kind of back-to-back chronologically within a day or two of each other. Jesus is sending his followers out to towns and villages. He's sending his disciples out to do things that he has taught them to do. So he's like, all right, you've been with me 2-3 years now. It's time for you to go out and do the things that you know how to do. So it's time for them to exercise their discipleship that Jesus has been working into them for quite some time. So they go on the move. Here's Luke chapter 9, 1-6. It says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. And so they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. There's tons of lessons that we can learn from that passage, and there's deeper meaning on several of the things that Jesus says that I think I'll save for another sermon when I'm just preaching that passage. But today, we're talking just about out and encouraging ourselves to be on the out mode of our three dimensions of relationships. And this idea, I was hoping to have something constructive for you or positive for you. This one idea keeps coming up over and over as I think about this passage. If there's one thing I could tell you, and maybe this is for somebody in particular, I don't know, because this is the only thing. This is the only thing I have for you about that, is this. Not everyone's going to accept you. Not everybody's going to accept you. And you need to let that go. Let it go. They're not going to accept you. Let it go. If people do not welcome you, leave their town. Shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Shake the dust off your feet and move on. It's okay. Don't waste time on people who don't want to hear what Jesus has for them. That's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's not okay for them, but it's okay for you. It's okay for you. I'm going to dive into that a little bit more in a little bit. But even though we need to be a church of individuals who live our lives on the out, intentionally loving people like Jesus loves them, it's not our job to save them because we can't. We can't do it. As hard as you try, you are not going to save anybody. That's up to Jesus. God can work God's way. He just needs someone, anyone, you, to show love. And you cannot make people receive it. So shake the dust off your feet and move on. All right, that's really all I want to say about that passage. But the next chapter, Luke chapter 10, similar circumstances, Jesus gives similar instructions. Now, not to the 12 disciples, but to 72. So his group of people who are ready to move out in the ministry has grown. 72, they move them out in pairs, and he gives great instructions that are valuable for us today. Let me read it for you. Luke chapter 10, we'll start with verses 1 through 12. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others, and he sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. And when you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest upon them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house." In other words, settle in with somebody and stay with them and stick with them. So Jesus is telling them how to recognize people who are open to his message. He told the disciples what to do when they're not received, and then he gets to that in the next paragraph with the 72. But for now, who is open to the gospel message? Who is open to receiving good news? There's a simple a way of thinking of this kind of person is who is open to receiving the message, and it's maybe we shouldn't label people, but we're going to here, a person of peace. This is a person of peace, somebody who is open to you, somebody God has already prepared in their heart to receive God's message from you. He's gone ahead. He started before you ever even got there to that person to work in that person's life to begin to receive his message from you. Have you ever thought about that? That God is preparing people in advance of you to prepare them for you to bring a message to them. Maybe you've never thought of it that way before, but I'll bet if you look back on your life, you can think of people that God brought into your life at just the right place, at just the right time, where you were ready to receive the message that that person had for you at that specific moment in your life. How many of you can attest to that? Yes, I've had somebody at just the right time. Why wouldn't he prepare people in advance for you to do that for them? Does that kind of blow your mind away a little bit? Like, wow, there are people out there that God's preparing to hear something from me. You could be that person for somebody else. Now, there's some keys to recognizing a person of peace, okay? So a person of peace, first of all, has to be a non-believer, all right? It's not a Christian already. They don't believe in Jesus yet. That yet is the key. Yet. They have not yet received the love of Christ. They are a non-believer. But they are open to spiritual discussions. Now, there's a lot of people, actually, in our culture today that would say, "I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual." You know what I'm talking about? You know people like that. "I'm not religious, I'm spiritual." Well, hey, that's fine. That's a good open door. Let's talk about spiritual things then. We don't have to be religious about it. Jesus didn't come to start a religion. Let's talk about the Spirit. Let's talk about how God moves. Also, this person receives grace. All right, they don't decline it. You know what I mean? They're open to receiving unmerited favor where you give them grace, you give them love. They don't decline or push away your message or your grace. And then this last one I think is important. This person serves you. Get that? They serve you. They want to make the path easy for you. I won't tell that story. They will just open up their home for you, or they will open up that person will just bring you coffee. They're not a believer in Jesus, but they just bring you coffee all of a sudden. They brought you a donut, or they just thought of you for this special thing that they know about you, so they serve you. And this person of peace can usually unlock doors to other people in the community. That's one of the things Darcy told me that maybe she could get by telling her story here. Maybe there's somebody here who has a key to unlock the door to somebody else that may have the resources that can help them to accomplish that vision. During Lent, we preached a series called Jesus Went. And we talked about like 7 or 8 different places where Jesus went and how he encountered different groups and did different things. And one of them was Jesus went to the crowds. And in that sermon, I implored you to see that you are already out. You are already out in the crowds. You're already at the ball field. You're at the workplace. You're at school. You're leaning on the fence during a game. You're doing whatever. You're already amongst people. You are out there and have connections. So now the question is, where is that person of peace in that midst? Where can you be intentional about approaching somebody with the love of Christ? Not just saying, you need Jesus, not that, but just being graceful and grace-filled with them. I used to coach soccer and serve a PTA with the school and do all the things you do when you have little kids. And early on, I wasn't intentional about doing those things. I just did them because I had some time and I wanted to be around the kids and I wanted to help. But then I realized there's opportunity here, and I can do intentional Christ-like things without beating people on the head with the Bible. I can actually present good news and gospel message to people without being like over the top and I don't know, ridiculous, you know, like I could do it in a way that didn't turn people off. And I found that people were hungry for it without naming their hunger for it. They didn't know that they were hungry for good news, but yet they were. I was already on the out. I was, you know what I mean. I was already out there doing things with people. I just had to learn to be intentional about it and find these people of peace that were ready to receive good news in their life. We usually don't need to be any more out. We usually are already out there. Most of us have plenty of things going on. We've got connections in the community. We just need to be intentional about finding people of peace. Like I said in the previous chapter, when Jesus sent out the 12, not everybody is going to accept you. Not everybody's going to pick up what you're putting down, if you know what I mean. So here's the instruction Jesus gives his 72 when that happens. He says, when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what they offer you, heal the sick who are there, and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Those are pretty harsh words. I hope Newark accepts the message, because I don't want us to be like Sodom. Sodom got destroyed in a fiery mess for the sin that they'd had for a variety of reasons. But not everybody's going to pick up what you're putting down when it comes to receiving a message of grace and love and peace. They won't all accept you. Not every person is a person of peace. And when that happens, what do? Wipe the dust off your feet and you just move on. Keep going. Now, you may not necessarily break contact with that person, but stop wasting your time on them for the moment. And you move on. You move on. But Jesus gives them some encouragement. You know, it's like when there's a breakup, when the person says, it's not you, it's me. You know what I mean? That's what Jesus says. Don't worry about it. It's not you, it's me. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. He says that in this next verse. Whoever listens to you, listens to me, and whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me. So he's saying, don't worry about it. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me and God the Father. But the rejection still stings, right? It's like they are rejecting you, but in all honesty, they're rejecting Christ within you. He said this so we don't feel bad about ourselves when we're rejected, and to emphasize the gravity of their rejection. But I think also there's a little humility in this too, because he's saying, if they do listen and you do have success, it's Jesus who has the success. So if they reject you, they reject him. But if they accept you, guess what? They accept him. It's not you. It's what God has done. It's what Jesus has done. It's not you. It's me. That's what Jesus is saying. If they reject you, it's not you. It's me. But if it's successful, it's still not you. It's me. Not me, but Jesus, okay? The 72 returned with joy, and they said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name, is what they said. So the 72 were elated. It worked out. They had success. They did what Jesus told them to do, and it worked. But they didn't accept the reward for themselves. They gave the glory to the person who had sent them. They said, even the demons responded to your name, Jesus. And that's all we can do. We submit to the name of Jesus. So at the beginning of the service, I promised you that as we went on through the service, you would hear two opportunities and one strategy. So you heard one opportunity at the ministry of Darcy and Jamie and what they have going on and coming up over the next several months of what they're trying to do. And they've asked for your prayers. They've asked for your support if God's leading you that way. They've asked for connections in the community if you have any. And you've also heard a strategy about looking for persons of peace and what they look like. And if they reject you, people reject you, you just wipe the dust off your feet and you go. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the one who sent you. But I want to give you one more out opportunity. And Joe just left, didn't he? Oh, he did. So Joe and Karma French, oh, there's Joe. Joe and Karma French have been working in ministry on Friday evenings to people who are in recovery or still yet to go into recovery out at Vertical 196 building on Friday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. They just bring humanity to people who are on the outskirts of life. And then they bring them a little Jesus too, right? But they just have a meal with them. And there's something so life-giving to sharing a meal with somebody. So they share a meal, they play cards, they go out and play cornhole. And then at the end they have a time of prayer and a time of connection and kind of pray, you give them a little message, I think is what Joe said. And really there's not a lot of genius behind that, to be honest with you. It's not earth shattering. But what we're doing here is showing people that they are loved. Loved enough to share a table with them. Loved enough to bring a meal. Loved enough to just sit and talk about life and be men. So what Joe has asked, and actually he didn't ask me, I approached him. I said, Joe, how can we support you in this? And he said, I just want people to come out and help me share love with them on Friday evenings. You don't have to come every week, but all you got to do is show up and be there and be a presence with these men who are on the margins of life, have not often been made to feel important, and Joe and Karma are simply making them feel important. We have many young women who come here from Courage House. These men are coming from Spencer House, which is right across the street from Courage House. And as many as come to us on Sunday mornings are coming to Vertical 196 on Friday evenings. And by the way, there is a rule that I know of that doesn't allow those two houses to worship together. So that's why Spencer House doesn't come here for worship. Some of them go to another church over by there. But anyway, so on Friday evenings, we're simply looking for people who want to share in that connection. And you can talk to Joe and Karma. Joe's right here in the orange shirt. You can wave. And Karma's in the blue shirt right down here in front. It's not hard, right? That's what I'm trying to say. This is an easy way to have an outward connection with people. So for today, we're looking for people of peace around you in places where you already are. Maybe eat a meal with them and ask some questions about their lives. And then 2 days later, ask again to follow up and just be connected with them. Help them feel loved. We're saying this. Join a program like it as well on Friday evenings, 6 to 8 out Vertical 196. And maybe have a connection with Darcy and Jamie and be out there kind of people. And God will bless you as you seek to do as Jesus did. You can't do it on your own. You do it with one another. You do it with the love of Christ. So let me pray for you, and then we'll go. God, thank you for this day that we've shared, these moments of worship, these hopefully couple minutes of challenge that we've had. You know, you haven't given us an enormous task. You've just simply said, do what Jesus did and show people that you care, show people that you love. It might be hard for some people who are a little more introverted. It might be harder for those of us who are just used to hanging out with believers and Christians. But help us to have a burning desire to love people like you love them, to make connections, to become family with people who we don't yet know and who do not yet know you. God, be with us in this endeavor, and may we find these people of peace you've prepared for us to say a word and to share a hug with them as you lead us. Help us to be your people as we leave here today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all this morning. Have a great week. We will see you next Sunday.